You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, Brooklyn Zed, so listen to this S-Star music and tell me it's not the worst music you've heard in a Final Fantasy game so far.
Yes, yeah, pretty annoying.
It's not good. It's annoying. Like, if you think about all of the different times we've opened up one of these podcasts with, like, music from Final Fantasy, you're always like, oh, man, yeah, that's putting me back. Yeah, oh, that battle music. Oh, my God. Man with the machine gun, Laguna. And now you're just hearing, like, these, like, little bubble pops. I don't know how to describe it.
It's can't like the music. What it is. There's a lot of things happening.
It's like the Final Fantasy music version of, like, popping bubble wrap, but way too fast. And so, like, in, like, a very annoying way. Like, popping bubble wrap deliberately to bother someone is how I would describe this music that we are listening to right now as we are launching back into the Final Fantasy VIII podcast in a chapter that I very cleverly have decided is called Estar Wars. Yeah, I was going to do it. I was going to sing the thing, but I don't know how it would conflict with the music that we've got going on. Of course, I'm Josh Wigler, joined here by Brooklyn Zed. Brooklyn Zed, how you doing?
We're making our way, you know? We're launching into space. We don't know what we're doing there.
We're in space! We're in space this week.
What is it? A cold sleep? I feel like I'm in a bit of a cold sleep.
I'm cold sleep. Yeah.
I'm cold sleep.
Why don't we say that? That's like when you're real sleep.
Yeah.
I'm sleep is definitely like you're more awake than I'm cold sleep. Yeah, which is a thing that's going to happen in this week's episode of the Final Fantasy VIII podcast. We're like, I don't know, we're like hot awake as we are. That doesn't work as well, huh?
Oh,
cold
man.
Sleep, hot awake.
Wow.
I'm hot awake. No, I don't think so. I'll try one more time and let's see. Hang on. I'm hot awake right now. No, but we're awake. We're on our way. We're on our way through the end game of Final Fantasy VIII. We're getting pretty close. Programming note, in fact. While we will have two more episodes of the Final Fantasy VIII podcast for you next week's episode, Brooklyn Zed, you are clear for liftoff. We are good to finish the game proper. We can leave any like bonus stuff for the end, and then I think we'll probably have a thing that I don't want to announce just yet, but we will have one more conversation about Final Fantasy VIII after next week. But next week, you will be clear to complete the game. We're doing like this final section in a couple of big chunks. Disc 3, I don't know, maybe feels like a little bit shorter to me than it's like both short and packed, filled with stuff. There's a lot to explain. We're going to like this, you know, insane new city that like we've heard about Estar throughout the game. I don't know how it like measures up to you in terms of hype levels. It's kind of wild that this thing just sort of exists in the world and we haven't like really seen a head or tail of it until now, right?
Yeah, well, because it's invisible.
It's a literally invisible future city. Like, filled with like future tech that is not apparent anywhere else in the world of the game.
Yeah. Got those elevator platform things zooming around. Weird cars.
Like, stupid xenophobic Estar, like, you guys could have shared the wealth a little bit, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, hoarding resources and intellectual property. Who would do that?
Spread the love! Spread it around! Share it! We want, like, the pneumatic tubes all over the world!
Yeah, man.
A pneumatic tube for every home.
For every home.
It's what I've always said, Zed.
Is it?
Yeah, it's along with the long history of me wanting to dress like Rufus Shinra for my bar mitzvah. I've always said a pneumatic tube for every home.
I used to say my studio and the theater where we would like put on productions in college were like as the crow flies, like a block apart. But because there was no through street, it was like a much longer walk. And I was like, there should be a tube from the fourth floor of this building tube to the third floor of that building.
Yeah,
walking back and forth between the two that I have to do is undeadable.
A pneumatic tube would have done the trick. My kingdom for a pneumatic tube. We are so close to the end of Final Fantasy VIII here. Let's hop into it because we actually do have a lot of things to take care of. Yeah,
yeah, like, it kept going. I was like,
No, you're not. You are now for almost, not quite. Where we begin is where we left off. Rinoa. Unconscious for no apparent reason that now makes a little more sense by the end of where we are in this week's episode. Squall is going to walk her all the way across the train tracks of Fisherman's Horizon to Estar, thinking that perhaps this will be the way to find out what's going on. There's like a fabled scientist there, Dr. Odine?
Probably not that one.
Let's go Odin or Odine.
Odin is how I was
Odin.
Reading it in
Odin,
my, in my
fine.
Head.
Dr. Odin. Yeah. Dr. Odin. Less cool than Odin, who slashes enemies in half.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's great. The Zankatsuken, I believe, is what it's called.
I'll take your word for it.
I think that's it. So you're on your way to Estar, and then Edea shows up with the rest of your friends. We're like, yeah, we're going too. Edea wants to go. She says that the people in Estar can like stop her from being a sorceress. And
yeah,
Edea's like,
got to see a man about a sorceress.
I got to see a guy about a thing in about a pneumatic tube. And she says, you'll love Estar. They've got pneumatic tubes. It's also an invisible city, and it's just beyond this glacier. So that's where we begin with Rinoa literally on our backs. Austin Squall literally carrying his family on his back
for like 90% of this chapter. Like she is just there and he just has her slung around his shoulders, dead weight as they, you know, climb things and crawl through things. She's just there.
You know why? It's because much like in a musical, Zed, when the emotions get to be too much, you burst out into song. For Squall, when the emotions get to be too much, they represent in the form of Rinoa's dead weight upon his back. It's really similar.
Yeah, basically exactly the same thing.
They're fairly similar concepts. So that's where we began. Like, we're on our way to Estar. We've heard about Estar a little bit. Xenophobic Estar. This is where these were the people who were giving Galbadia so much trouble during the Laguna dreams. We had seen Estar soldiers before. We had even seen this thing called like the Lunatic Pandora. Not a pneumatic tube, but perhaps a pneumatic cube. Some sort of thing that was like excavated from the ground. I'm not entirely sure still that I understand what the Lunatic
like,
Pandora
kind of
is.
Obelisk looking.
Yeah.
Like a large, black, tall, giant thing.
But internally, it's like
ship?
Turquoise, crystalline. It's like, it's like that. But is it a spaceship? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've been in it, and I don't know what it is. I don't understand.
We were there in the previous Laguna dream. It was the place with like the turquoise crystals all over the place, and it turns out that was a deal. We're going to have to deal with that again, but not yet. First, in order to get to Estar, the gang is going to have to plow through like a little like glacial canyon, which like has excellent music, tremendous music for like such a washed over portion of the game, because really the only thing is like you just have to like fight some sort of like undead thing.
That came up out of nowhere. I was not anticipating that at all. You're just like sort of wandering through, you know, some screens of like dragon or dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
And then also
while you're dragging
like,
Rinoa
off a like pops up onto a cliff.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you're gonna fight this.
That's it. And so like that's what you're doing. And you fight it. And I don't know. I've got the rails up guardrails are on, Zed, so I just like pummel it with nonstop attacks. So if there is some sort of cheat, I don't know.
It's, well, it's undead.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
Did it work?
I Phoenix downed it.
And it died?
And it worked.
Classic. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, what a great thing. That's what a great bit. You know, just a great recurring gag. You see an undead thing? Cool. Cast life on it. It's dead. So that works. You get to a certain point in this like glacial canyon, and then like the sky starts shimmering. You're like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, it's super weird.
And I think like literally like a ladder appears.
Well, you have to, so like you see a flickering thing that like, if I had been playing this on the PS2, I would have just thought that like, you know, the disc was not in great shape or something. Like it's that level of just like a graphic like flicker. And it was only because of the walkthrough that I realized you have to hit X or whatever the button is to make a hole appear in the sky.
Yeah.
Like a tunnel. And then you just climb up nothing into the tunnel. Yeah.
Very odd. Very, very strange. I think you
still
like,
with,
climb
still
up.
Still with Renoa on yes, Squall's back. On your back. He's climbing up this into this tunnel.
Squall is so strong emotionally. Physically, he is just so tough. He's so tough.
Mentally?
Yeah, man. He's good. Squall's great.
Sophie has said earlier at this point, she's like, we're going to bring back Renoa. It's like a picnic. We're going to have fun. It's not fun. And it's not like a picnic. No. But Quist, yeah. I think it's Quistis who's like, let's not think about it anymore.
Yeah, look, us, like, in, like, the post-show recaps patron community, we could tell you that bringing a friend back from the brink of death is hard. It's no picnic. So you go up this invisible ladder into this random shaft in the sky.
Yeah, you know, like you do.
Like you do. And you wind up on, like, some sort of elevator thing. Mm-hmm. And as you're on the elevator thing, like, this platform... Everybody passes out, and they're like, not this again, no!
Yeah, but they're saying, like, judging from their technology, they already know we're here. And I'm like, well, who's they, and where's here? And somebody's like, we may encounter some hostility. And it's like, oh, great, this is going to go really well from this poorly. Hole in the sky we've jumped into.
Absolutely poorly.
Yeah.
So everyone passes out, and you have another Laguna dream.
Yeah, Squall's like, not now!
Yeah, not now! He's like, can you, before I fall asleep, can you let me gently rest Renoa on the ground, please? Otherwise, she's going to fall and get concussed, and there's nothing I'll be able to do about that. So he passes out. You have a Laguna dream. It's been a little bit since we've had, like, as substantial a Laguna dream as this one, where he's, like, he's working in, like, some underground lair. He's like he's been like enslaved as like an imprisoned worker. There's a Moomba. Remember the Moombas are like
Moomba. Their dialogue is all grrr.
Zed, did we already cover what the Moombas are? As in like what they actually are?
I don't recall because all I can see them as is like, you know, bodega versions of Red 13, like a stuffed animal version of Red 13 brought to life.
So, like, that's what they look like. You know, yes. They're like these upright, like little tiger creature looking things. Did you know that the Moombas and Norg are the same thing?
No.
Yeah.
We definitely did not discuss that. What?
Yeah.
But they're like tiny and cute, and Norg is Norg.
Yeah, correct. But they're the same thing.
Nope.
They are.
How? I don't understand what you're saying to me.
Shumi Village, which is an optional place in the game.
I haven't been up there.
That you didn't go to, is where the Shumi or the Shumi tribe live. Seemingly simple and artistic in nature, they possess a unique technology that makes use of both man-made and bio-natural products. And their physiology... this is at finalfantasy.fandom.com, the wiki for Shumi. The Shumi physiology section reads, while nearly humanoid, it's unclear whether the Shumi have genders like humans. Their most prominent physical feature is their oversized hands, used for digging and craftsmanship. The Shumi's appearance depends on their inner nature. and at an undisclosed period in their lives, a Shumi will evolve into a form most reflecting their personality. This fact greatly affects their cultural attitude towards themselves and other beings. The Moomba is perhaps the most common form that a Shumi may take due to their holding Moombas in high enough regard that most wish to become one when their time comes. The form of an elder Shumi is reserved for those who demonstrate certain traits towards the Shumi community, and this form, while greatly similar to the common Shumi, appears much taller. And the form of Norg, a black sheep of the Shumi tribe, though possessing considerable mercantile skills, may either be a perverted version of the elder Shumi due to his greed, or an entirely different form altogether. So yeah, the Shumi, like, they like are like Pokemon. They evolve.
I see.
And so some of them turn into Moombas who can't like talk. They just growl and look super cute. Uh-huh. And that's what people want to like turn into if you're a Shumi, or if you're terrible, you can turn into Norg.
Yikes. What a nightmare. Like what if that happened to you and you're like, oh no, I am this now.
I think it sounds like they like becoming Moombas.
Moombas, sure. Yeah, would you be happy if you turned into Norg?
No, but it sounds like if I turned into Norg Zed, I've never been happy, and in fact have always been awful, so I got what I deserved.
Sure, sure.
So, a Norg, just all hands and jowls, just a terrifying, terrifying monster. Anyway, we bring this up because Laguna's hanging out with a Moomba here in, like, this, like, underground bunker, like, with, like, highly sophisticated technology, and... Mm-hmm. Yada yada, we come to find out he's in Estar, and there is like this huge war going on. The Sorcerer's War. We talked about this a little bit last week.
Yes, a reference to it got dropped in passing during some other conversation, but we had not really learned about it before.
So, like, Laguna is in Estar because he's looking for Alone. Alone has been taken to Estar, and he has found himself imprisoned in the middle of this Sorceress War. And, like, kind of yada yada, he saves a Moomba. The Moomba helps him. They break out of captivity.
I was so upset when that happened.
Yeah, because, like, a Moomba falls off like a catwalk.
Well, he's, like, working on something, and Laguna's like, oh, you need a tool for that, and, like, tosses him the tool, and it, like, hits the Moomba, so the Moomba falls off the platform, and I'm like, did it just die?
Did you just make me kill a Moomba? Yeah. It's invisible.
But it was stressful. Yeah.
It is stressful. So that's happened, it's terrifying, but ultimately it's okay. They've saved the Moomba. Laguna and his friends break free from captivity, where they're being held captive, it seems, by this really horrible scientist with this ridiculous frock. Dr. Odin, who he talks like this in Zed.
He talks like this, yes.
Yeah, Zed and
would
Zed
be most agreeable.
And Zed sent me a great text that only the players of the Dungeons and Dragons and the Discord of Posha Recaps would appreciate. Zed, you're like, is that Bite Bizard?
Yeah, because like all the S's are replaced with Z's, which is how Bite talks, especially when it's written out.
Yeah, if you ever want to play Dungeons and Dragons with yourself, yours truly, with Brooklyn Zed, and you, I'm talking to you out there, you can sign up patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Never been a better time. You can meet Bite Bizard himself. So like you get through, and Dr. Odin, who like, I guess like as the story goes on here, is like kind of sort of an ally, seems like a bad dude. Like seems like he's really excited about like the sorceress and like what the sorceress is capable of, and like having a child as a prisoner. Cause they're like divining like the dream magic from Alone.
Yeah,
it's like,
doing
the
research.
This is great.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He says something like, the rumor goes that the little girls are being abducted for the sorceress research, and he says, they will be proud to help the research. That is all that matters. Like, yikes.
This guy's terrifying.
Yikes. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
But eventually he's gonna kind of be an ally, so like, no consequences. No consequences.
Consequences.
For Dr. Odin.
Oh, goodness.
It's like Laguna tracks him down and breaks alone out of prison. And along the way, like some like rebel fighters are like, you're pretty cool. And Laguna's like, thanks, I know. And they're like, would you like to be a part of this resistance?
Do you want to be the leader of our resistance?
We would love it if you were the leader of our resistance. And he's like, well, let me like find my friend first.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk.
My niece.
And he does that. He finds her, mm-hmm. and that's effectively like the end of the dream, I think, right?
Well, pretty sure. It's weird because like Dr. Odean's like, who's alone? Oh, I know alone. Okay. Yeah. There's like, you know, in the same breath, he like pretends not to know her and then knows who it is. And so we go get her and then we come back from the dream. Yeah.
Yeah. We wake up and we're like on the ground in like this, in this place, where do people show up to escort us further in, or is everyone like, mm-hmm. well, I think we're ready to go.
Yeah. So we've like gone on that platform thing. And then a weird car shows up and some man like knows Edea and speaks to her and she's like, we're here to see the doctor. And he's like, oh, well, I'll take you to the presidential palace.
Yeah.
And so that's where they go.
And so you get on yet another platform, another elevator, except this one seems to be of the pneumatic tube variety, as it transports us through Estar. And it is this city that just like kind of like unfolds in front of you and stops being protected by invisible reflective mirror type doohickeys. I don't know what's doing it, but it is I'm going to say the word again, a megalopolis, a sprawling megalopolis, future city, the kind of thing that you'd expect to see under a dome. You end up like at certain point leaving this place, and like getting out of the city is complicated. Like you, unless you rent a car, literally in the game, like you're running around a highway.
Yeah,
sprawling network of roads.
Yeah, like in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like floating between various places, but you can only run on those, or I guess you would, you know, fall to your death.
They're like sort of like fluorescent but translucent like highways.
Mm-hmm. Like a rainbow road aesthetic almost.
Very much. Yo, Zed, Estar looks great and sounds like shit. And that's why I get so mad about it. I hate the music here so much because it looks so cool. And it just like sounds like trash.
But you can mute it if you want to.
I do.
Uh-huh.
I do, but it just annoys me because I wouldn't if it sounded great.
You want it
great.
To be good, yeah.
Yeah,
I get it.
It needs a better theme song. Maybe we can work on that. Mm-hmm. We can come up with a different, different.
I'm sure we like know some folks who could pull something together.
Yeah, the Estardoff. Nope. No.
Oh boy.
No. So these guys are like, "Hey, you want to see the president? Because we've been waiting for you." Mm-hmm. And you go and like basically like the president is not available.
Yeah, but you want to talk to the doctor anyway, not the president, I guess. So, like,
yeah, the doctor's like, "Ooh, this is there." It's the same guy. This is like years later. This is, you know, however long after the Laguna dream, and
yeah,
and Dr.
Like
Odean,
at least, you know, 10 or more years based
for
on
sure.
Odean's age, like 10 or
for
15,
sure.
maybe.
Yeah, it's between like a decade to like 15 years is right, I think. Like at like maybe even two, close. And like all of a sudden, like, you know, Estar doesn't seem to be that bad. Like this place seems to be kind of great. It seems like everyone's like happy here. Like it seems like a pretty good place. It's relatively chill. Like, Dr. Odean's like, yeah, we could do something about Edea and the witch stuff. And maybe we'll even be able to do some stuff about your friend who's unconscious because
we
we're good people now.
Leave her here with us in this weird place.
Yeah.
He's also he has this like crazy red and white sort of like dartboard looking like collar cone thing.
The frock! Yes, the frock! What is it? He looks like the Dilophosaurus from Jurassic Park. You know, the dinosaur that like peacocks before it like spits acid on Wayne Knight? Yeah.
Yeah,
like
this was astounding to me. I was like, I don't understand what I'm looking at or why. But so Edea explains to him that she wants to be free from Ultimisia and not get possessed by her again. And Doc's like, yeah, okay, we could do that. You guys go to the, like, you guys get out and go to the Lunar Gate.
Yeah. We could do some things about that, but yes. We have to go to space.
To space.
Yeah. So, like, you could run around Estar. It's a super city. There's a ton going on. You are going to have no choice but to run around Estar relatively soon. Mm-hmm. And you could do that if you wish. But really what's going on is, like, we're doing stuff in space. So why don't you come? President's up there. Maybe you can talk to the president. We're doing some cool space stuff. Like, if we're going to shut off, like, your sorcerer's powers, space is the place to do it. You're like, huh? Sure.
Duh.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it's time to go to space. You know, not quite a hallmark of the Final Fantasy series that you have to go to space.
I've done it twice now.
But you've done it twice now. And not for the last time if we play more Final Fantasy games. It's not going to be every single one, but, like, space is often a deal. And this game definitely sends you to space. So you go
there are a lot of elements of this chapter that were, like, somewhat FF7 reminiscent, like the going to space. There's, like, red impending doom, like, hovering over the planet, like, shooting down towards it. And I was like, yeah, this feels meteor reminiscent for sure.
Yes. It's definitely close to it. So, like, rent a car or walk. Either way, you got to get to the lunar base. And, like, now you're on, like this, like, desert continent where Estar is. And, like, there's a couple places you could go. You go to the Lunar Base. You go to this place called Tears Point, which is going to be, like, relatively important to what comes next.
Yeah, I ran down there to get the walkthrough sends you down there. Because I was just so confused. I was like, I don't know where anything is. I ended up running back to the lab by accident instead. So I was like, walkthrough, help me. I'm going to be here forever. I went and got the Solomon ring, but I haven't done Doom Train yet.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So the Solomon ring is this ring that you can get in the rubble of this place called Tears Point. Mm-hmm. And if you get 6 Marlboro tentacles, Marlboro is the cigarette.
Uh-huh.
Six Marlboro tentacles, 6 steel pipes, and 6 remedy pluses. Which you're supposed to figure out on your own by reading one of the magazines.
Oh, there's something about refining something into something. Like, my eyes just, like, glazed over reading the instructions. I was like, come back to that.
If you get that stuff, then you can summon Doom Train, a guardian force that is a train, but made of doom.
Which does sound pretty rad.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It does, like status effect-y type stuff.
Uh-huh.
This is something that you find in Tears Point, which is the site of the next Lunar Cry, because as we're gonna, you know, come to learn, as we know, in the world of Final Fantasy VIII, monsters come
fall
from the moon.
From the sky.
Yeah. In Final Fantasy VIII, where did the monsters come from?
You know that monsters come falling from the moon? Somebody just says that, like it's not a question, it's a statement. Like, it's common knowledge. Monsters fall from the moon. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I have actually no problem with this. I think this is awesome and great and cool and ridiculous. My problem comes from when like a character in like a like an NPC in the game is like, oh yeah, you know how monsters come from the moon? And then like Squall's basically like, yeah, of course, I read that in a book as a student. And it's like, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Did someone want to read me in? Nope. Like that's the stuff that can be hard, and that's why like viewpoint characters are important. Would have been nice to have one, because I love the idea. I think the idea is ridiculous and sounds like totally up my alley in terms of like a story that I would enjoy, like a story I would aspire to create. Like that sounds like so totally ridiculous and like, yeah, of course monsters just fall from the moon onto your planet. That's great. That's super fun. That's so stupid. Don't give me the science. Just give me the monsters from the moon. But like, read me in on it. Like, find a way to like give me that information other than an NPC being like, yeah, monsters, they come from space. They come from the moon. You knew that. And then you're like, yeah, I knew that. But you didn't.
I didn't. Yeah. Nope.
Because it's cool. But anyway, like, Tyr's Point is, like, this place on Earth where monsters are projected to fall, I think, from the lunar cry, which is when the moon basically turns into, like, a gross eyeball-looking thing and just, like, secretes.
Monsters.
I'm saying secretes.
You are.
Yeah, to get it as gross-sounding as it looks.
Yeah.
You know, I have the eye phobia stuff, Zed, so this is tough to watch every time. Because the moon just ends up looking like a giant eyeball as a bunch of, like, red, raw monsters gather together in clusters on the moon and, like, drip out of the moon and onto Earth somehow through magic. Anyway, so they're going to space because space is where they have locked up Adele. Hello? Who is up in space, who is the former sorceress, who was like the dictator of Estar back in the day.
Right, because Ultimisia is the sorceress from the future, right, who's trying to travel back in time to get to Adele in the past.
And Adele was a sorceress from the past, effectively. You know, who was...
In Laguna's time.
Mm-hmm.
Running Estar.
Yes. So that's Adele, who has been like locked in like this like sort of like kind of like circular prison up in space. Yeah. So they have like a space station where they monitor
cold storage,
Adele.
Basically.
Yeah. Cold sleep. Mm-hmm. Cold sleep is where they have Adele. And so like they put her in space. Because, like, being in space is, like, where she's least powerful, but so close to all the monsters. so close. Dangerously close. It's almost like something terrible could happen. So she lives in this container called Adele's Tomb, which they've launched into space, and so they monitor it in space. Anyway, Squall is being invited to go up there and bring Rinoa as well, in order to like look into like what's going on with Rinoa, and he can bring one friend with him. I don't know who you brought.
I took Quistis because I couldn't take Zell because Zell is part of the ground squad. He's leading the ground squad.
So they could only bring up so many people, and like Zell's like, please let me stay with Matuan. I don't want
to
go.
He wants to be her escort. Yeah, he's very excited about it.
Maybe because like, Cypher was previously her knight, and like now he wants to like one up Cypher. Could be it. I wonder.
Prove that he's not a chicken wuss.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he's going for. This is a detail. The container. This is from. I'm just going deep into the wiki. The container, appropriately dubbed Adele's Tomb, was launched into space and brought to rest in orbit around the moon, causing the worldwide radio interference, rendering most wireless technology useless for the next 17 years.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I bet everybody in the world of Final Fantasy VIII knew that already.
Yeah.
Everybody in the world of Final Fantasy VIII, such know-it-alls. Look at you all hoarding your knowledge from all us, you, the player.
You teenage children, you know so much.
You all know so much. You're so ready to just lead us through wool. So, yeah, you're getting, like, shot off into space. But first, before we even see what's going on there, Zell and the crew step outside of the Lunar base. And they, like, look up in the sky, and there's this obelisk, the Lunatic Pandora. It's a cool name.
Yeah. I didn't
understand. Lunatic Pandora.
I don't know what it is, but it's a cool name.
Well, let me tell you, it's a colossal structure that can induce the Lunar Cry. It can cause the moon to, like, basically, like, tweak out
and weep monsters
yeah. effectively if it lines up on the right spot. So the Lunatic Pandora, which has been hijacked by, we will come to find out, I believe, that Cypher, right? They say, like, Cypher is because we're going to find out what's going on in a little while with Rinoa. And through that, we'll find out that Cypher has been sent. Like, we were wondering what happened to him. Where'd he go? Well, he went off on a mission to find the Lunatic Pandora, unearth it from the sea, and bring it to Tears Point, this place on Earth that is, like, the monster hub. And by being there, it's going to, like, draw the monsters down, as long as somebody up in space can, like, do their part. And little do we know, the Mole Patrol theme intensifies. But, like, the Lunatic Pandora is, like, raking across at, like, the slowest pace.
Yes.
It's going to, like, come up from the ocean across Estar, and Zell and friends are gonna, like, have to try and, like,
jump onto it.
Yeah.
You know? Sure.
Yeah. They're like, well, we got to stop it. Well, how do we do it? We jump onto it. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's three checkpoints in the city of Estar, and if you get there between 15 and 12 minutes.
Yeah, so you have to, like, get all the way back to Dr. Odin, and he's going to explain to you how this all works and, like, go over the show you a map and go over the timing. He's like, you might stop here or here or here between this time and this time or this time and this time or this time and this time. And, like, you got to make it to one of the checkpoints.
Yeah. Dr. Odin's like, let me explain to you how the game is played. And freaking Dr. Odin is so excited. He's like, oh, the Lunatic Pandora! This is so cool! It's like, no, dude, that's gonna bring all the monsters down. He's like, yeah, but science is so cool! It's like, this little idiot. He's so small, too, Dr. Odin. He's a tiny little guy.
Yeah, he's a little dude. And he's like, oh, you want to hear my stories? That is nice.
And you're like, no, not really. But yeah, you may as well, because that's how you get backstory in the game. And so, like, yeah, this is easy to do with a walkthrough and turning off battles. The hardest part is the waiting.
Yeah, you get to the spot, and then you just have to stand there.
Yeah, just wait. But if you're there, then, like, the thing shows up. You have to fight, like, one guy.
Yeah.
And you fight the one guy, and then you get on. And so, like, Zell and whoever's with Zell, they fight this guy, and they hop onto the Lunatic Pandora. And you can wander around the Lunatic Pandora quite a bit. And I think it's a little bit customizable based on, and I believe that I had told you this, in, like, the Laguna flashback. Like,
yeah,
you can move
some
stuff.
Yeah, if you do all the stuff right, which I certainly didn't. So.
Sure, same. Big same. So, like, you can run around and you can do the things and, like, makes your life a little easier, or you don't do that and, like, it's a little harder to navigate. But the end result is, I believe, essentially the same. I think, like,
there's, like,
you
some
run-
stuff you can find or not, depending on things you did or didn't do previously, but then ultimately you're just gonna get, like, thrown off the thing.
Yeah Some, like, one of these what is it, mobile type 8? Yeah, mobile type 8 is the name of this, like, gigantic floating thing that, like, you eventually run into it, and, like, you don't even get to fight it in battle. It literally just, like, levitates you with, like, telekinesis and, like, drops your ass off the Lunatic Pandora.
Yeah.
Yeah, get off my plane, as Emily Fox will soon say on Poster Recaps Theater. Sign up now if you want to hear Emily Fox say, "Get off my plane," on Post Show Recaps Theaters. We're going to be talking about Air Force One here pretty soon. And so, like, all of the Lunatic Pandora stuff was literally for nothing.
Yeah. Really weird.
Because it continues its war path towards Tyr's Point. Mm-hmm. All right, so now you're in space.
Yeah, you went to cold sleep, and then you get woken back up.
I'm cold sleep. Yeah.
Cold sleep.
Yeah, now you're hot awake and still not working.
I love it.
Yeah.
So they're up there. They get, like, sucked into the lunar base in their little capsules. Renault is still unconscious. Adele is in her tomb. And you finally get to Alone after all this time.
She's in space. She's been in space this whole time, and she's just, like, chilling in, like, an alcove.
Yeah, she's fine. She's not stressed at all.
She's, like, sitting on, like, a cushioned bench in an alcove in space. Yeah,
great
a cushioned bench
here in space,
like a breakfast nook in space. Yeah, just like a really, like, comfortable looking alcove. Mm-hmm. She's just like, "Hey, Squall."
You're like, "Yeah, like, sorry about all that." And Squall's like, "Oh, I understand what you were trying to do." And I'm like, "I have no idea what you were trying to do."
Squall basically says, like, "You were trying to get us to change the past, right?" And she's like, "Yeah, but what I found out is whatever happened, happened." Uh-huh. Deep lost rules as far as the time travel.
You're the one that changes, not the past.
That's pretty cool, though, right?
It's rather profound, right?
Yeah.
She's, talking about how, like, you can go back and see the past but learn things with more, like, perspective, and you gain some knowledge, but you can't actually change the things that happened.
Correct.
Interesting. It's very interesting thesis statement.
I like it. I think it's good. I think it's another, like, there are great ideas in Final Fantasy VIII, I think.
When you're allowed to think about them, when you don't get told not to think about them too much.
If it was, it's presentation stuff for me. It's such a buzzkill. Yeah. Because I think it's got a lot going on, and it's just the presentation is just tough. But yeah, like, basically Alone is like, that's what I learned. I learned that, like, I could recontextualize stuff, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand, like, people's plights. I understand what matters more, but there's nothing to change. But Ultimisia certainly wants to, take an opposite position to that. Ultimisia is trying to change stuff and, in fact, destroy time compression. That's cool. So at some point, I think, like, Alone's like, "Oh, you haven't even, like, gone to, like, the control room and, like, looked out and seen the moon."
Like, "Let me give you the tour."
And so, like, she gives you the tour, and, like, you go to the, like, the control deck, and, like, some guy's like, "Yeah, take a look." And, like, you look in, like, I don't know, whatever, binoculars or some shit. Mm-hmm. And, like, it, like, zooms in on all of, like, this red mass on the moon, and it zooms in and zooms in. And it's like, "Ah, gross, fiends, monsters, disgusting, slimy, raw, red little guys, terrifying." Yeah.
And the controller's like, "History's about to repeat itself. The lunar cry is starting." Like, very chill. It's cool. Don't, you know, whatever.
Everyone seems fine about that. Yeah. But I guess they don't know that Lunatic Pandora is showing up to exacerbate the cry. And so that's actually going to make it bad.
Yeah. But then an alert goes off.
Red alert. And oh, snap. Oh, no.
Yeah.
She was on our backs the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what happens is, and we've seen her, like, do, like, some of these movements in the past a couple of times. Back, like, when we tried to assassinate Edea. Mm-hmm. Renoa kind of, like, goes limp and, like, drifts around and, like, sort of, like, walking, like, some
it's
sort
like
of,
a
like,
zombie shamble.
Yeah, it's, like, some sort of, like,
situation.
Upsetting, unsettling, Lynchian walk. It's terrifying. It's, like, really Twin Peaks. It's scary. And you can't stop her. Like, she's woken up, and she's not talking to you, and she's moving around, and Squall's like, "What's going on? Why won't she stop?" And, like, she keeps, like, moving. And she, like, is... What I would have loved to have seen is, like, how she was able to get a space suit on.
Yeah, because she's like almost like graphically, she's like sort of faint. It's like she's glitching out a little bit, like,
yes,
you know, sort of ghostly form.
Yes.
Yeah. Goes into the control room and does the first seal to unseal Adele's tomb. And everybody's like, it's okay, it's okay. She has to get into space to undo the second one. That'll never happen. She goes out into space.
She goes out into space in a spacesuit. You're like, Renoa, what are you doing? And like, then Squall puts on a spacesuit so that he can go after her. And he can't get out in time. So like, this is one of my least favorite parts of the game, and it's so minor, but like, you are like trying to move in this spacesuit to get out into space, but Renoa's faster and she gets out and she closes the hatch, but you still like go all the way up to the top of like the space station and then realize, oh, I can't get out. And then you have to come all the way back, and all told, you probably burn, even in fast forward, a minute of your life on this. And I want that back. I want that minute back.
Yeah. It takes a while. I was very confused, just like, because you're floating through space, you're moving like through depth, really. Because it's almost like you're looking, either looking straight up or looking straight down, depending on your perspective. And so you're going away from the camera and you become this tiny little dot, and you're moving so slow that like, I couldn't figure out what direction to like move the controller to get myself to come back up for a while. And I was like, how do I get out of here? Is that, like, is this where my game ends? I'm just going to be stuck in this airlock forever. But you come back out and everybody's like screaming about evacuating the base. And they get into their little pods to leave.
Yeah.
And Alone, so they're all in their pods, and Alone is going to try and take Squall back into Renoa's past, because Squall's trying to figure out what to do.
Very quickly before that happens is you see another person is in a spacesuit who is apparently the president. The president of S-Star, who is on the space station as well, who, like, would have been nice to have an audience with this guy. but the president, like, is, like, trying to do it on his own, and, like, his, like, compatriots are, like, dragging him away, literally at one point. And then, like, they, like, drag him off screen, and then he crawls back onto the screen and looks up at Squall and goes, hey, kid, protect Alone! And then he gets dragged away again.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. That guy seems great. So Squall goes on this escape pod with Alone, and he's like, take me back to the past. I want to save her. No, he's like, she's like, yeah, but you're not going to be able to like do the thing. And also, I don't know her, and I can only do this for people I know.
Yeah.
And so I guess like maybe it's because like she knows like some of the people that Renoa knows. Yeah, because like she was at the orphanage with Irvine and Zell. Remember that? So like she's able to like take Squall back to Irvine, I think, probably, because like you're with Irvine and you see that Renoa was the one who's like, turn this car around. We got to go back to the desert prison. We got to save everybody. And then she like takes you back to Zell, and she's like, can you make me this ring that Squall has? And Zell's like, oh, people might get the wrong idea. And Renoa's like, oh, God, it's true. I like him. And then somehow she's able to, like, take Squall to Renoa, actually, who is now, like, who has been, like, drifting out into space. And out in space, I feel like we, like, yada yada passes. She's going out into space so that she can unlock the sorceress Adele.
Yeah.
From her hyper prison. She's out. She's free.
Yep. She did.
And the lunar cry is happening, and the monsters are crying off of the moon, and the sorceress Adele, who is like this genocidal maniac from decades previous, who has been imprisoned in this space jail, is free. And this is not good. In fact, I'd argue actively bad. Like, very, very bad. And Adele is, like, this very imposing-looking figure. I don't know if you got a good look. Like, gigantic in size.
Yeah. I mean, the sorceress is...
This is like,
oh boy, the sorceresses. Yeah, it's hard to say.
The sorcerer.
Sure. I don't think that's right, but I think it's easier to say. They all have like big hair and like head pieces and like intense like costumes. Well, not costumes, it's what they wear. Like their fashion is like very extreme. It makes a statement and they have a presence and they take up a lot of space.
Yeah. Space. And this was gigantic. Adele's like a bodybuilder. She's like very physically imposing. It's awesome. Her whole vibe is super dope. And so she's free. And that's terrible. And Rinoa did that because Rinoa has been, as we will come to find out, possessed by Ultimisia. Mm-hmm. When Edea was freed from Ultimisia, that's because Ultimisia hopped into Rinoa.
Yeah.
And so Rinoa, who's been cold sleep, has secretly been hot awake this whole time, waiting to pounce as Ultimisia to hijack. To free and hijack Adele. Mm-hmm. So that's a deadly combo. It's bad.
Yeah.
The good news is Rinoa is free of Ultimisia's grasp at this point. The bad news is now she's alone in a spacesuit drifting out in space towards her inevitable demise.
And the life support is turning off. she's just floating around out there, about to die as far as we can tell. But Squall and Alone see each other, and I think they're talking in the back in the ship. And Alone says this weird thing of like, "Oh, you're looking at me with like those puppy dog eyes, like you did when you were little." And I was like, "What is happening?" Like, I understand you were in the orphanage together, but like, what a weird thing to say. But Squall's like, "I gotta go get her." Like, that's nice. Yeah. Bye.
But he, like, I guess, like, she was able to, like, get Squall to see her in space and, like, to, like, reach her, like telepathically. Like, it seems like Rinoa heard Squall. And so, like, Squall's like, "I found her. I know where to go. Thanks, big sis." And so, like, Squall is ready to stop being such a doof and is like, "Go get her." He's like, I will.
You go get your woman.
Yeah, he's going to go. And so he goes off and you have this horrible mini game.
I was so confused.
You have like a minute to catch Rinoa in space. If you fail, you can do it again.
But like, Rinoa died and she's going to float in space forever.
It's great. Yeah, I failed because like I was like looking away and didn't realize that it had started. And I looked back at my thing and it was like, "Oh, you've got 30 seconds left." I was like, "Oh, well, I can't see her. I definitely lost this one."
She's gone.
I was a little panicked that like it would be a game over because I hadn't saved in a minute. But it ended up being okay. But yeah, like you catch her. He hugs her.
I wrote down, this whole section is movies. We got the movies.
There's
a lot of FMVs happening in this part of the game.
So many. And like,
dramatic,
she's like,
romantic moments.
She's like, "Squall, you came." And he's like, I did, Rinoa. She's like, are we going to die all this way to die? He's like, I didn't do all this just to die. I've got a plan. What's my plan? Oh, thank God. Serendipitously, there's a spaceship over there.
Yeah, we'll go that way.
And so just by like happenstance, there is a spaceship that has apparently, as we will come to find out, been missing, unaccounted for 2 decades, almost.
Yeah, 17 years, I guess. Yeah.
This dragon ship, the Ragnarok. See, I told you. Mm-hmm. Get ready to Ragnarok.
I love Ragnarok.
It's a cool ship. A lot of people think that this is the best airship in the Final Fantasy series.
It is pretty cool.
It's dope. It's unique. It's gigantic. It is, it's got like this really cool vibe. It looks like a Megazord from Power Rangers, but that's kind of cool to pilot in the Final Fantasy universe. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, like stark cherry red and black and like dragon shaped. It's awesome. It's really, really cool. I would not fight you if you said this is the best airship in the series. It's not probably mine just because it's like in this one. But otherwise, like, it's definitely a contender. And so like you've just happened upon it. Cool.
Yeah, so you get in there and you change out of your space suits and Renoa's like holding her arms out and Squall's like, "What?" And she's like, "I want to hug without the space suits in the way."
Yeah, she was like, it was getting in the way before. Let's do this. Come on, give me a hug.
And he does not hug her.
He's like, you know that we're not out of danger yet, right?
Yeah, she's like, I want to feel alive. And Squall's like, let's try staying alive. And then we can work on like, feeling alive.
Let's stay alive. Let's not hug this out quite yet.
So funny.
It's really, really funny, actually. Like, this section is both a little bit annoying and also kind of cute.
Yeah, it cracked me up. It is over the top obnoxious, but that particular interaction I thought was very funny.
I actually think the Squall and Rinoa stuff, I don't know if this is a hot take, the Squall and Rinoa stuff is some of my absolute favorite stuff in the game. I think, like, once, like, they finally start, like, grooving, they're kind of cute together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sort of, you know, it's the point where, like, the game really reveals itself as, like, this was a love story the whole time. It's all about, like, learning to, like, love other people, and just as importantly, like, learning, like, to let yourself be loved, and even more importantly, learning to love yourself. Like, there's good themes here, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think like, the way they channel it through these two characters, with Squall, who's just, like, such a pill, and Rinoa, who literally is like, we're alive! Can I get a hug? He's like, I can't yet. I'm so sorry. Like, I
definitely... No, I'm not at that place.
It's like that kind of thing where, like, but we like each other. And, like, it's pretty clear now that we like each other. Like, don't you want to, like, hug? Like, I'm not asking to make out or anything. Like, can we not hug yet? And he's like, I'm still so nervous. Yeah,
I haven't hugged anyone in, I don't know, 16 months.
Exactly. Exactly. He's like, I'm working up to it. But they say it's safe. I'm still not there. So here you are on the Ragnarok, and it's overrun, Zed, with propagators.
Propagators.
What's a propagator?
It's a great question. There are these, like, many-legged creatures in various colors that will just, like, charge at you the second you're in a room, and you really have, like, almost no time to make them go away or, like, to evade them. And what I learned only through the walkthrough, I was like, what is happening here? I ran around and killed a few of them first, and then I was like, what's going on? You have to kill the matching color pairs first. So there's two of each of, like, four colors, and if you kill a purple one and then you kill a yellow one, the purple one is going to come back. So you gotta get rid of both purple ones together, or, like, consecutively, before you move on to another color. Like,
the two reds, the two greens, the two yellows. Yeah, you have to kill them in tandems.
And there's a lot of rooms. It can be annoying. They're all over the place.
Not only that, Zed, but, like, sometimes you enter a room and a propagator is, like, so excited to see you. They just, like, hey, it's been, like, 17 years since we've seen anyone. Oh my god! And Squall's like, what did I say about hugging? And so, like, you have to, like, kill him. It could be tough. I was very proud of myself, Zed. I think for the first time ever, I killed these propagators without consulting a walkthrough.
Oh, nice.
Big moment for me. I was very happy about that. It's like, I think I got this. I'd messed it up once, and that was it. So I was very happy about it. Kill the propagators, and once you do, you are now in charge of the Ragnarok, and you're able to make, like, contact with ground control to Major Squall back in Estar. And they're like, oh shit, cool. Ragnarok!
Oh, wow!
Yo, great. You found that? Neat! Push this button, read out these codes, we will guide you through.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like, oh, okay, great. So it sounds like we're going to get back to our home planet safe and sound after all. Seems like a perfect time for a very emotional music interlude.
Yeah, this goes on for so long.
Yes.
Yeah, sitting in Squall's lap.
This is an I imagine you can imagine, Zed, that this is some moments take years to become iconic. Others are iconic the moment they happen. This is one of them. Instantly iconic. is the Eyes on Me music sequence. This song has been teased out throughout the game. Mm-hmm. This is the song that Julia, the pianist, playing in Dayling City. And what did we remember about Julia's fascination with Laguna? She wanted to eat those eyes.
Eat his eyes out. Yeah, but she promised she wouldn't. She's not going to pluck his eyes out and eat them or anything.
No, she'll like just that. She'll just write a hit J-pop song about them and save it for like a really emotional moment in the game where as the Ragnarok is being like summoned back to Earth, Rinoa and Squall, who now have nothing but time on their hands, are going to like have like their most like sort of like playful date. And it is the song is by Fei Wong, Eyes on Me. The lyrics go, whenever sang my songs on the stage on my own, whenever said my words, wishing they would be heard, I saw you smiling at me. Was it real or just my fantasy? You'd always be there in the corner of this tiny little bar. This is sounding familiar, right? This is about Laguna.
Wow, yikes.
This is very on the nose about Laguna. My last night here for you, same old songs just once more. And then this is my last night here with you as a question. Maybe yes, maybe no. I kind of liked it your way, how you shyly placed your eyes on me. Oh, did you ever know, that's a question, that I had mine on you. And then it gets to the bridge.
Wild.
Darling, so there you are. With that look on your face, as if you're never hurt, as if you're never down, shall I be the one for you who pinches you softly, but sure? If frown is shown then, I will know that you are no dreamer. The lyrics go on.
Interesting.
At the Pops concert, at my high school, a student sang this song, and
wild.
I was floored. I was like, yo, that's Eyes on Me! I was like, oh, shit! I was Leonardo DiCaprio in The Gift, as Brendan Fitzpatrick alluded to this week on Poster Recaps Theater. I was like, it was wild. Eyes on Me, maybe not surprising, Zed, divisive. Some people like it, some people don't. I love it. It's earwormed in me forever. Every once in a while, Eyes on Me just comes on in the mental rotation.
wild.
Like, I can't help it. It's just there. It's there. It's great. So this is playing as Rinoa's like, hug me, Squall. Hold me like you did that night on Naboo.
She's very much just, like, sitting in his lap, like, clinging to him. And he's like, why are you hanging on so tight? Like, your seat is over there. You would be safer if you sat in your seat and definitely, like, not here. Not in my lap. Anywhere
he does
else.
Do that at one point. Yeah, because they're in, like, a zero-gravity situation. Like, the guy's like, I hope you don't mind, but I think if we turn off the gravity, it'll save some fuel.
Yeah.
It'll also set the mood. Let me dim the lights and turn off the gravity.
Space dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's emotional, the music, and the moments become a little more emotional from, like, playful to, like, oh, no, Squall is starting to feel things and realize things that, like, Rinoa is a sorceress.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, she, like, whether she always was one or she became one, the moment that, like, Ultimisia hopped into her, I think is, like, a little muddy, at least to me. But she's a sorceress, and like the people back on the ground, like, radio up, they're like, hey, so some escape pods are landing and we're starting to piece together what happened up there. You don't have Rinoa with you, do you?
Yeah, she says she's scared that people are going to be mad at her.
Yeah, because she released Adele.
Mm-hmm. Not great. It was not ideal.
Great. But she wasn't in control. It wasn't her fault. Right. That was Ultimisia.
Right.
Using her as a vessel. Very violating. Not cool. And yet, Squall he stares at her for a while, for a big part of the song. He's just like staring at her as she's like, I'm afraid they're gonna take me. Help. I'm so Squall, come hug me. And so Squall gets off the thing. And he does hold her very tight at one of the most emotional parts of the song. And I think it's lovely. Am I allowed to say that? I think it's lovely. This guy who's been suppressing the emotion the entire time is reclamped. He's overcome with it. He's like, I have to hug her. She's scared. I'm scared. We're scared. This is scary. I like her. She likes me. I may even capital L love her.
Feelings. It is funny though, because in this whole conversation, she's also like, this is like when my mom used to hold me and I liked that. And Squall's like, I am not your mom. That's kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it is strange. It is odd. It's odd.
Yeah,
it's
but it is very sweet. It's very sweet. And it's finally happening, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's happening! Everyone's watching. Oh! Yeah. They're doing it! Not yet. But yeah,
in
so they
space.
Instead of doing it in space! They're not. This is a family film. They do come back to the planet, and then the S-Star soldiers show up, and Renault's like, I'll come with you. They're like, we're going to try and figure this out, but you definitely have to come with us. And Renault's like, I get it. And she turns around to Squall. She's like, I guess this is goodbye. And Squall's like, can't say anything.
Yeah.
And she starts to walk away, and he runs after her. Finally. He's like, Renault! And she's like, it's going to be all right. Don't worry, Squall. I'll see you later. And she walks off, and Squall just stands there being like,
yeah.
What
and
do
now
I do?
We have a ship.
Yeah. But there is this moment, before we close this part out, is Squall goes back on the ship. Did you play this stuff through?
I think I just walked back in and saved.
Okay, got it. Well, what I'll tell you, because this is you'll find this out immediately, and I think this is a worthy place to stop.
Sure, yeah.
Is that Squall goes back on the ship, and all of his friends are there. Somehow they've shown up on the ship, and they're like, "Well, what are you doing, you dummy? You're just gonna let them take her, and we're not gonna do anything about it." He's like, "I don't know what to do." They're like, "Yeah, well, Adele is back, and this is terrible, but, they also have Renoa, and maybe you want to, I don't know, not let her, go this time, you moron." And Squall's like, "You know what? Absolutely correct. I don't know what's going on. The witches are crazy. I just went to space. The only thing I know is that I care about Renoa, and I'm not letting Estar take her. We're going to get Renoa."
Good.
And so that's where we'll leave it. We've got a big push of game. We're going to close disc 3, and then we got to do disc 4, which, much like in FF7, is either the final dungeon or side quests. Mm-hmm. Although, I will tell you, Zed, if you want to do the side quests, do those now.
Now, sure.
Because,
yeah.
I would do them. I would do them now. Do whatever you want to do. There's a couple more Guardian Forces you can get if you want to look this stuff up. Feel free to check it out. Mm-hmm. But we'll account for that. We'll go through the remainder of the disc, and then we'll just push through the final dungeon and the final disc, and we'll beat the game. And then we'll do one podcast afterwards to way back in on FF8 and maybe look ahead at what we'll do next. Mm-hmm. So two more FF8 podcasts coming your way. Get hyped. I really do think that the final dungeon of FF8 is it could be a little frustrating, but it's also kind of cool.
Okay.
There's some puzzle work to do.
Okay.
So I think you might like it. I don't know. That's it. Eyes on Me. What a beautiful number. Brooklyn Zed, eyes on the Post Show Recaps Patreon feed, because Brooklyn Zed, you've been co-hosting a podcast there with the amazing Grace Leader.
I have. We're talking about the final season of Pose on Pose Show Recaps. And for as silly as that title is, the podcasting that we're doing is pretty serious and emotional and intense. We recorded an episode last night in my real lifetime to when this episode is being recorded that I think will have dropped by the time this episode drops. So if you're a patron, check that out. Yeah, I'm really proud of the conversations that we're having and the work we're doing over there. And Pose is such an incredible show. I hope people are keeping up, checking it out, hanging out with us. Yeah, it's great.
Where else can people find you on the internet? And why is it twitch.tv/DM Philly?
That's where I live now. I live at twitch.tv/DM Philly. Sunday nights, we're playing City of Mist with our show Kings of Neon, 6 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. And then on Tuesdays, as of last week, we are playing D&D in space.
Also in space.
With our show Dragonfly, which Josh is also playing in, as is the aforementioned Grace Leader, as are many other familiar Post-Show Recaps faces. And you can hang out there for free.
For free, yes. Check it out, twitch.tv/DM Philly, if you want to watch a lot of really fun shows, including the aforementioned Dragonfly, in which Zed plays a tiefling star druid, and I play some unspecified shadow assassin named the Bad Man, who sometimes stores his pet cat, Jeffrey, inside his gullet.
Yeah, I didn't know that before it happened.
Yeah, yeah, he swallows his cat Jeffrey and puts him into like an interdimensional vortex to keep Jeffrey safe during battle. Yeah, he's got a lot going on, that Badman. But I don't think he's that bad.
Not so far. We don't know. Days. We've had two episodes. You can watch those on Philly's Twitch, or they also go on his YouTube channel. We're having a lot of fun. Come hang out with us.
Lots of fun. twitch.tv/DM Philly. Also follow Zed on the Twitter bots at Hard Rock Hoop.
That's me.
I am on the Twitter bots as well at Round Howard. Find out everything that we've got going on, whether it's here in the Final Fantasy podcast feed or so many of the other podcasts that we are pushing out on Post Show Recaps and in the Patreon feed, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. If you'd like to join, we'd love to have you either at that podcast feed level, or if you wish to push in further, the Discord is a beautiful place. Or if you just want to listen to the podcast, hey, we're still here. We're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. We're cooking with gas here on Final Fantasy, and we're
this
so close to the end of the line.
This podcast is dropping on your first day as a full-time podcaster.
I guess that's true. That's right. Yes, I believe that's correct.
I did it.
That's May 15th. May 15th is when this podcast drops. That is officially the first day that I am a full-time podcaster. Maybe. I don't know. Will podcasting be here forever? Well, hopefully we're going to try and make it that way. So if you like what I do, and you'd like to make it possible for me to continue making podcasts for the rest of time, consider subscribing to our Patreon. It's directly going to impact whether or not this bold experiment will work. We would love for it to work. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps.
We really would.
We would love for it to work. All right. Well, why don't we close out with Eyes on Me? Of course, that's the way to do this. We'll be back next week talking about the end of Final Fantasy VIII, our penultimate chapter here in our Final Fantasy VIII podcast coverage. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.